It is a lovely series. I've enjoyed it so far, to be quite honest with you. And this morning, we'll be focusing on why are you afraid? Which is one of the questions Jesus asked. You know, and we're going to look at the account of Mark on this particular topic. So, if you got your Bible with you, you can open your Bible as well. It will be on the screen as well. If you want to read along. So Mark 4, chapter 35 to 41. And says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall, you know, that's like a storm. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died. The wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Interesting question to ask. Why are you afraid? Jesus asked his disciples. And in the context of what we just read, that question can seem a little bit out of place. I mean, the guy just experienced a near-death, you know, situation. A very life-threatening situation. And Jesus came up at the end of it and said, why are you afraid? You know, but I believe what Jesus is saying in this question is more fundamental than just that. It is actually questioning, the question is more deep-rooted. It's actually addressing a deep-rooted issue here. And I believe Jesus wants to ask us here today as well, this morning, why are you afraid? If I were to go across the room and ask the things that you might be afraid of, I'm sure I'll get a list, ranging from the fear of death, or some people, like my daughter, are afraid of spiders, you know. And the fear will range from people to people, depending on your experience or age or whatever it is. And fear, can be a terrible thing. It can paralyze anyone. You know, the fear, it can cripple even the ability to want to do stuff or to want to step out or to just want to reach out. You know, you hear people as well, sometimes they just, I'm just afraid to share my faith. Though they want to, but the fear cripples someone. That's just an example. There are other things, you know, but that's what fear does to anyone. But it wasn't always so. In the beginning, fear came into human beings. If we can see the account in Genesis, that was when fear was actually introduced to mankind. And this is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. It says in that Genesis, it said, then man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid. Before that, they were never afraid. Before that, they were always looking forward to God coming to meet with them in the cool of the night, spending time with God. But something happened. The enemy introduced sin to man. Man disobeyed God. And all of a sudden, he's afraid. And because Adam and Eve, obviously, our ancestors, we have inherited that fear, naturally speaking. Until we meet with Christ, unless we've given our life to Christ, then we're completely different. Well, a natural man, his natural standing position, come from the place of fear. And that's why you see people are afraid of so many things. Adam said in that, he said, I was afraid because I was naked, but we know it wasn't because he was naked. Because he was naked before God, prior to that time. It was because he has disobeyed. The sin of disobedience made him afraid. He was afraid of the consequences of what he has done, of the sin that he has committed. And that's why most people are afraid of God. They think, whoa, God is just too. Until Christ came to bridge that gap for us. And he paid the price of that sin, that we can then come go to God boldly, like it says in the Bible, come boldly into the presence of God, for those who are born again Christians of God. So like I was saying, because they are our ancestors, we inherited that. So Jesus said to his disciples in the passage, in verse 40, he says that to us this morning as well, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The answer to fear, I believe, is faith. I recall my daughter, actually in year three, they were learning antonyms, you know, words and opposite. If you were to ask me the opposite of fear, I'm going to say it's faith. That's the only way we can overcome any fear. But faith, faith in what? Faith in who? You see, Jesus followed that statement that we just read in that passage. He followed it up with, do you still not have faith? After he said, why are you afraid? He backed it up by, do you still have no faith? Because that is what we can use to overcome fear. The enemy uses fear to subdue people. But God gives faith to overcome fear so that we can rule and reign in life. Just like every nation on earth has a currency. In the UK, we spend pounds. And some other nations, if you ask Nigeria, they spend naira. The currency that we spend in our kingdom, the kingdom of God, is faith. That's why if you look across the Bible, you hear verses like Hebrews 11:6 that says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So faith is very key in our kingdom. And that's why Jesus Christ backed it up. After he said, why are you afraid? He said, do you still have no faith? Also, Matthew 21:21 says, truly I tell you, if you have faith and you do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done if you have faith. Mark 11:23 as well. It said, everything is possible for one who believes. So what is this faith that Jesus Christ is talking about? So that we don't get it wrong, this is not faith in one's ability. Because like these days, you probably hear people say, oh, you have to believe in yourself. Yeah, it's a good thing to say. But that will only take you so far. And this is not faith in your own educational achievements or what you've done or your bank account having millions and pounds now. That is not faith. That's not the faith that Jesus Christ is talking about here. John 14:1 says, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's Jesus Christ speaking in that verse. Said, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So the faith we're talking about is believing in God the Father, God the Son, who came and laid his life down and paid for our sins and reconciled us back to God. And then believing in God the Holy Spirit, like Johnny was talking about earlier on. The three together as one. That is what the faith was talking about, believing in God. What God is able to do, and all that he's able to do. Faith in God, or anything else for that matter, stems from trust. And trust is attained over time through relationship. So we saw Adam and Eve, they had relationship with God. And therefore, God would come in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day, and spend time with them. And whether they were naked or not, all of that was irrelevant because of the relationship. If you get close to anyone like we do, there are things you'll be able to share with the person that you can dress down in the front of the person because of the relationship that you have. Because they know you, you know them. But if there's no relationship, that you probably won't get to that level with that person. And that relationship you trust. The reason why you do that is because you trust the person. Over time, you've gotten to know the person and to put your trust in them. And likewise with God. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that consequently faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of God. So we develop this relationship with God by hearing his word. Like we're here today, and the next couple of weeks we're going to be together in Grace Center and all of that. And we do life groups. We do life together. We're going to go to the camp out as well. So we are taking time out to spend time with God, to build and build on that relationship that we have with him. And that's how our faith develops. Our trust in him actually grows. And we talk about people, men of faith in the Bible, that have done great and marvelous things because they trusted God so much and they spent time. And don't get me wrong, they miss it sometimes, like we all do. Sometimes things happen in life. Storms of life come in. But all of those things makes them even stronger and trust God even the more. Yeah. And then they come up with all sort of names for God. You hear people say, oh, God, my rescuer. It's because of the relationship. All the names of God that we see today came from the relationship that God had with man, with all the great men in the Hall of Faith. And they just, well, because of the experience, they said, wow, God, the lift of my head. God, and we, obviously, we've experienced God in different ways. I can say, God, my redeemer, because he rescued me, he redeemed me. And that's what he's come to this world to do. I can say, God, my father, because I have experienced God as a father. So it's all based on relationship that we have with him. And, well, in a group like this, usually there are three categories of people. There are a group of people that probably they know God already and they just want to know God. Like I talked about, go God more, deeper in that relationship. And then there will be people that probably, they don't have any relationship with God, but they just come or somebody invites them or they just, well, I'm just going to spend time. So they're yet to start a relationship with him. And then there are other, the third category that are on the fence. They're neither here there, or there. They've not made up their mind whether they're going to follow this Jesus. So usually, there are three categories, if you actually break it down at any time. Those three categories we always find in any setting. But if you are a Christian today, you've made up your mind, you've committed your life to Christ, that doesn't mean that we still don't come across storms in life. Like Simon was saying when he was actually singing. So sometimes these things come. They come to test our faith. And that's what kind of happened to these disciples. Because they already believed. They were Jesus Christ's disciples. They believed in him. And then that came. The storm came. The mighty storm came. It says in that verse 37, it says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So for every Christian, there are storms in our lives that come to attack our faith, like I said. Some of them are so raging that their waves try to break over our boat such that we are nearly overwhelmed, as the passage puts it. These storms come to test our faith in God, like we see with the disciples, and fear crept in. So when the storms come, what he introduces is fear. Even though they have faith, even though they've seen Christ, they have actually just listened to him talk about the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is like before they go onto the boat. Their faith had developed. They've come. But all of a sudden, this sudden attack, this storm of life, if I put it that way, started to make them to doubt, introduce fear. And because they were afraid, they didn't know what to do. And they ran to Jesus. And they woke him up. He said, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care, Jesus? But Jesus got up, you know. Because at this stage, what fear does is it makes them forget who they were in Christ Jesus. They forget of whom they believed. And so they went to Jesus Christ and said, "Don't you care that we perish?" But Jesus, in the midst of this, was resting. In the midst of the storm, he was resting on the sofa, on the cushion. But he cared. The Bible says that he that watches over us neither sleep nor slumber. Jesus was aware of what was going on. He was fully aware, even though he was resting there. So he cared. So the disciples actually, so they went to him. Thank God they had him on the boat as well. Because if you remember, as part of my passage, there were other boats with them. That Jesus was not in the boat with those ones. But they had Jesus on the boat. Again, that's because they have a relationship with him. So they had someone to go to in the time of trouble. So they went to Jesus Christ and woke him up and said, don't you care? And Jesus Christ stood up, calmed the storm. But he turned to them. He said, "Have you forgotten who you are? Why are you afraid? Have you still have no faith? Have you forgotten of whom you have believed? Why are you afraid?" After all, Jesus Christ is the head of all storms. We read one of the songs we sang today. He said, "Mountains bow down to him." So the question, one of the questions from to me to you guys this morning is Jesus in your boat? Like I said, there are people here that are Christians, but there are people that might not be. Have you got Jesus in your boat? Do you have him that you can run to him and, in times of trouble? To say, "Lord, help." At least they had Jesus Christ, even though they were afraid, but at least they had Jesus Christ to run to in the boat. I can imagine the other boats. They experienced the same thing. They probably would have seen again that storm and all that is going on. And they would have been afraid as well. But they had no one to run to. No one to say, "Lord, in prayer, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you right now." And more, they didn't experience the miracle that the disciples experienced as well. That would have actually increased their faith in Christ. Because they saw him, just he spoke to the wind and to the storm, and everything immediately calmed down. But they experienced that, but the other guys did not. And we read earlier on that faith comes by hearing. And hearing, seeing the things that God does. Obviously, that helps too, the faith in him. But those guys, maybe the guys in other boats would have been thinking, "I don't know what happened. Something just happened and the storm went away." So they missed it completely. God cares and he loves us dearly, no matter what we go through, as we go through storms of life, as we go through any, and I'm sure there might be people here that are going through one thing or the other that is so, so big. But remember, if you are a Christian, you've got God with you. You've got the Holy Spirit. And you can always cry out to help because he cares. His Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. He said he will be with us even to the very end. And this faith that we have, like I said, is in Jesus. And this is the same Jesus that said to us in the Bible, he said, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all of those he has given me, but raise them back up at the last day." So God is with you, and he's going to see us to the very end. Amen.
Amen.
So yes, Jesus cares. But what he won't do, he won't spoon feed us. He wants us to grow.
Yeah,
he wants us to grow. He won't give us just fish. He will teach us how to fish so that we can teach others and that we can grow in the understanding of who he is and in our relationship with him. Because if you were to get somebody today and you just keep feeding them every day, what are they going to do? They're going to get lazy. But he's going to come again and he will feed us. So they will not learn to learn to fish themselves, to go out and then be something good to other people, be effective to other people and teach other people and tell of the goodness of God and how they can grow in Christ as well. And that's why Jesus said to them, don't you, after he'd done it, he said, why are you afraid? Because he wanted them to grow in that relationship that they have, grow in the knowledge of who they are in Christ Jesus and what they're able to do, what they're capable to do. Because it's all in him. He said, if you believe in me, greater things you will do. That's the Bible. You will do greater things. And the world will see me through you. But if we're not taught properly, if we're not growing in him, the world will not see him through us. Because we'll just stay as babies. But he wants us to grow, to become matured Christians. Yeah. So as the enemy tries to introduce fear in our life, Jesus gives faith. Because after the enemy introduced fear to the disciples, they were afraid. But Jesus Christ calmed the storm and he gave them faith. He said, do you still have no faith? He gave them faith because as faith increases, fear diminishes in anyone. And there's a story that I like so much because it's in John the Baptist. It's about John the Baptist. This is in Matthew 11, 2-3. John the Baptist was in prison after he'd done his ministry. He was in prison by the king then, King Herod, and he was facing death. And just like every one of us, that was a massive mountain in his life, a massive storm. He was definitely afraid at the time, was afraid for his life. And then fear crept in. And when fear crept in, what did he do? He sent his disciples to go and ask Jesus Christ, are you the one, or should we wait for another? Now, this is the same John the Baptist that announced Christ. At the time, he was there, behold, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. This is the same John the Baptist. But it got to a time in his life where he was in trouble, so to say, and fear crept in. And then he started to doubt. And that's what fear does. It makes us to doubt the word of God, doubt God himself. And yet people say, oh, where was God in this situation? Because why we've allowed fear to come in. And so John the Baptist said to his disciples, go and ask him, please. Is he the one or should we wait for another? But what did Jesus do? Jesus increased his faith. He said to the disciples, I read it, said, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. He increased his faith. Because it seemed Jesus done this several times, even him, John the Baptist, before that time. So he's telling him now, all that you know that the Messiah is coming to do, tell him that you see them. If you see that, go back and tell him. And I believe that would have increased his faith. And then he will know that, well, even in this right now, God is with me. And that's what matters sometimes. When we go through storms in life, the assurance, because that's the assurance that Jesus Christ gave to him. He reassured him. The assurance that we know that Christ is in the boat with us. It gives us the confidence to go on. Like Simon was quoting this morning as well. He said, in this life, you will go through many trials. That's God, Jesus Christ saying to us, his disciples. So the fact that we go through trials is not the issue. But the main thing we have to remember that is God is with us in them. And therefore, we will overcome. Because we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. We will overcome as the Lord's deems fit. Because at the end of the day, it's all about him. So Jesus replied that to the disciples, and they went back, and they told John the Baptist what they saw. So faith was given to John the Baptist, and God today, God is giving us faith as well. If there's anything that we are afraid of, God is saying, I am with you. You probably need to get back into the word of God to increase our faith. We need to get back into that relationship deeper and deeper because fear can cripple. And it's what we allow, that's what we manifest. And that's what the Bible says, we should you know, meditate day and night in the Word of God. Do not forsake the gathering of His people. Spend time with God's people that will encourage you so that our faith continue to be on the high. Because when we have faith, like we read, we can move mountains. We will do things because we know God, our Lord, is with us and He is in our boat. So for everyone born, yeah, it said for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. For everyone born of God overcomes the world, even the victory. I mean, this is the victory that we have, even our faith. So one might ask, so what is faith? We've talked about, okay, what does it mean to have faith? What does it mean to believe? If you go through Hebrews chapter 11, it's full of, you know, everything about faith, and it gives us the whole of faith, all the men, how they overcame by having faith in Christ. But chapter 1, verse 1 says, faith is a confidence.
Did I go back? You're going backwards.
Now, faith is a confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. It is... I also put there the acronyms that I don't know whether you've heard it before about fear. What fear? False evidence appearing real. That's what fear does. It tries to make what is not true, it magnifies it for us. But faith, like I said, to me, if you ask me, is the opposite of fear. And you see, that's the confidence. And this is Hebrews chapter 1. The confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. You know, our hope is in Christ because, again, we've developed that relationship in Him. And we know Him to be true. And because we know Him to be true, we know everything He said is true. And if God has said, like I read to us, that this is our victory, that we have overcome the world, even our faith in Him. And therefore, that gives us the confidence to move on. So, and our confidence has solid grounds. Our confidence is grounded in Christ Jesus, like I said. Because of all we've heard of Him and all that He has done and He continues to do. And because we know Him, and we have a relationship with Him. I can say that. If you have a relationship with Christ Jesus, I'm sure you can say that as well. But if there's anyone here that's yet to step in into that relationship, well, today is a good day to do so. So my question to us, as I round up, my question to us once again is, the same question Jesus asked. Why are you afraid? So you might be afraid because you don't know Him yet, and therefore you're fearful of what the world holds or what the future holds for you. But it might just be there's a storm in your life right now that is just raging. I've just been through one. But what we do is hold on to God.
Yeah.
Hold on to His word. Hold on to what He said. Because God is true. If there's anything that is true, it's the fact that God is true. Everything else be a lie. The Bible says, let God be true and let everything else be a lie. God is true. So that is my question to us.